Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 Christians. All Christians sitting there who, in the last little segment, if you heard, talked about God's love, but really weren't able to explain it to me until I dug and dug and dug, and we got to this whole sinner idea, and I led them with a leading question that God demonstrates his love by dying for us while we are yet sinning. Now, we've got to make sure, starting with ourselves, that if some knucklehead with a microphone walks up to us, that we can articulate that, and we want to make sure that our kids can understand that. This is another great example. Now, I'm not judging any of these kids individually. I'll bet you half of them, at least, probably aren't saved. Because if you can't articulate the gospel in some sort of way, shape, or form, something's wrong. There's a good chance that you don't know what the gospel is. And I'm not talking about the kids that I was talking about. It could be that they just needed an explanation. That is a possibility, and we're not judging them and throwing out the tares with the wheat or the wheat with the tares. But there are so many people in this country who profess the name of Jesus Christ and are absolutely clueless. And chances are, it's with that gang because they would be the exception rather than the rule. All right, now there's four young people sitting here eating food on the steps in the middle of Georgia Tech. They seem to be a little intense in a conversation, but we'll see if we can interrupt it anyway. Lady and gentlemen, could I interrupt you for just a moment while you're eating your, smorgasbord here? Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
Dude, what are you studying here?
Aerospace.
I don't know what that means.
Helicopters.
Oh, specifically. Cool. Here's the only thing I know about helicopters. If you don't have that little propeller in the back, the thing goes spinning all over the place.
Yep.
Teach me something else about helicopters. Give me something cool so I can impress my friends.
They're noisy. I'm trying to make them less
okay.
Noisy.
Look, I can hear one right now. I can't even see it in the sky. I can hear it. Yes, I know they're noisy. Give me something cool. Come on.
Helicopters aren't cool, though.
They're very cool. Give me something informationally that's... They were created by, or that somebody invented them by mistake, or what's the history of helicopters? What does helicopter mean?
Vertical takeoff. Save more people than anything else.
No, now we're getting warm.
Here's the old story. If you're crash-landed on a cliff, an airplane can fly over you and drop, flowers on your grave. A helicopter can come and actually pick you up and save you.
Okay, I can live with that. All right, and why do you want to study helicopters? What do you want to do with them? Repair them? Fix them? Military?
No,
Air
design
Force?
Design new ones, military.
Really? Cool.
To kill people.
to kill people. Mm-hmm. That's a lovely thought right there. Do you ever think it's right to kill people? Really? Wow, aren't you a bold one? When would be a right time to kill somebody?
I don't know.
No, you're doing fine. You put your foot in the water.
It's right to kill anyone. Well, in war,
So if it's just, it's okay to kill.
You can't prevent it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about...
Okay, what if they're going to kill you? What are you going to do?
Duck. What about criminals? Ever right to kill a criminal?
No, they're being punished in jail.
All right. So that's their penalty, mm-hmm. Is that. Not death, though.
No.
Okay, why not? You'd kill a soldier, but you wouldn't kill a criminal?
Well, I wouldn't kill a soldier.
Philosophically. Okay, what about the life issue? What about the whole abortion business? What about that? Is it okay to end the life of a baby?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. So you are you're pro-life?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What about you, young man?
Pro-life.
Pro-life, really? And what about you?
No comment.
Uh-huh. What about you, young man?
Pro-life.
Okay, I'm on a university campus, and 3 out of 4, are you just feeling a little shy because you're surrounded here by three of those pro-life fundamentalist wing nuts?
Absolutely not. It's not a clear-cut issue between pro-life and pro-choice. That's what I think. So
right.
I don't want to label one or the other because that's ambiguous to me.
All right. What's the fuzzy part?
Situations, specific situations, incest, things like that, rape. Any kind of situation where, that there may be a problem or whatever. I mean,
okay.
I don't know.
I'm going to give a scenario to you. Let's see if your logic works. All right? I'm standing here right now. Life is good. The sun is shining in my face. I'm a little hungry. I'm a little covetous of your whatever that is.
Rice, pork, and tomato sauce.
I'm not so covetous anymore. But I'm a little hungry, but otherwise life is sweet. All right? What am I?
You're a human being.
There you go. Okay. Oops, I slipped. I banged my shin. Whew, I'm going to get a goose egg on my shin. I am in a lot of pain. My situation has changed. It's no longer good. What am I?
A human being in pain.
All right. A human being in pain, but I'm still a human being, right?
That's right.
So that thing that's inside of a woman, just because circumstances change, what is it?
It's a human being.
Aha. Uh-huh. So what helps you make the decision is not what it is, but what the circumstances are?
No. So what about the circumstances when it's incestual?
Yeah, that gets pretty ugly, doesn't it?
Okay.
That's kind of...
That's what I don't like about just the pro-life, pro-choice, is you don't have... You know, there are situations where you can say, like, look, the child might be born with no brain or something like that because it's an incest or a father
let's
raping a daughter.
Let's take one at a time, because you're right. Bringing up those scenarios, they're quite rare, but they do happen. So here's the question. Disgusting uncle rapes the 12-year-old niece. Horrible scenario, right? Right? Would you agree? Yes, we're all in agreement? Vulgar and disgusting. Here's the question. What is it that's inside of that girl?
It's still a human.
Right. Right. So no matter how it gets there, or what the circumstances are, or what its potential are in life financially or culturally, it's still a human being. And so wouldn't the fundamental question be, and it's rather black and white, if it's a human being, if we know that, then we're pro-life.
Well, I mean, what about medically?
Yeah, that they've maybe got some special needs?
Like it has to be on life support.
And that's a very good question also.
Have conscience, and it's never awake. Okay. I mean, are you a human if you're not awake?
Well, that gets kind of interesting too, but let's take one at a time. If you visit a hospital, you're going to find a lot of people hooked up to machines. What are they?
They're humans hooked up to machines.
There you go.
Okay.
So they're just babies hooked up to machines.
What if they're machines that are supporting the people? Is it more of a machine or more of a person?
That's a good question. That's a good question, too.
Just address that you're not awake.
Yeah. Well, that gets into end of life issues. But what we're kind of creating right now are some pretty, pretty exceptional, pretty rare. The guiding principle should be it's a human being, so the desire is for life, not for death. That's the guiding principle.
I have no problem with the pro-life position. That's fine. I'm just saying that, for me, it's not clear-cut.
Well, in a lot of the cases that you...
some medical reason to terminate a pregnancy. That's all I'm saying.
What would be one good reason?
We just went through it.
Okay, but it's still a human being, right? Okay, what's your IQ?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to give you a 138.
All right. Okay.
I'm a 4, give or take. Okay, I am not nearly as smart as you. My brain doesn't work nearly well as you. You wouldn't kill me, though, would you?
Because
I'm a human being.
Me personally, no.
Right, because I'm a human being, and just because I'm not as smart or I don't have as many abilities as you, I'm still a person.
Because you're a human being. I mean, I wouldn't kill a dog or a cat either.
Okay.
Or a chimpanzee or an orangutan or any other. No.
Right, but the point is, what you're describing is you think that maybe they have a less, I don't want to say valuable, but a less fulfilling life, so maybe their life should be terminated. But that shouldn't be a criteria, because the question is, what is it?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like you're coming from another perspective than me, so I don't know if I'll be able to
I'm trying to reason with you, because it's some of the things that you've presented, which are fair, I think, and reasonable, I think we could categorize as saying, one is it's about development, level of development is one of the categories that you've described. And what I tried to respond with is, I'm not as developed as you are mentally, maybe financially, but you don't kill me because I'm not as developed. And just because a baby isn't as developed as another doesn't mean we kill it.
Well, okay. I mean, I can see that there are situations like that, sure, that... You wouldn't be justified. That's
fine.
I'm not going to make the decision on whether or not that's not for me. My decision, personal feelings should not be make the decision for others.
Here, tell me what you think of this thought. Okay, I would make the statement, it's never, ever, ever, ever right to kill a baby with an abortion, ever, because that would be murder. It would be making a decision on what is a valuable life based on circumstances or location or level of development, as opposed to intrinsically what it is. Now, should it be the rare situation when the mother's life is in danger, I would still say abortion is wrong, but I would say do everything you need to do to save the mother's life. And if that means the baby's life is ended, we weep over that. But our guiding principle is to save the life of the mother, but we never want to abort because that's ending the life of a human being. What do you think of that?
That
works for you?
That works for me.
Look at that, how we came to that agreement.
That's what I was trying to say. You know?
Terrific. I'm a little slow. See, I'm at about a 4, and you're 100, and what did I say?
38, I believe.
See, you are smarter than I am. All right. Gentlemen, thanks for the chat. I appreciate it very much. All right. You're the quiet one, aren't you? Yeah?
Sometimes.
Yeah? What'd you think of that little exchange there?
That's what I believe, what you just said.
All right, dude. Hey, thank you. But are you guys religious or something?
Well, I don't like to use the term religious, but I'm a Christian, yeah.
Ah, okay. Thanks very much for the chat. All right, appreciate it. Okay, two mysteries that will need to be solved. What are these Christians doing here at Georgia Tech? And will we ever get to answering that dopey question? It's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech.
There's a lot of Christian content out there that sounds deep, but it actually isn't. It's inspirational. It's nice, but it doesn't actually help you when life gets hard. Fortis Forums are completely different. We're talking about how to comfort someone who's grieving and what Scripture actually says, not just what sounds nice. We're talking about marriage when things aren't easy and mental health and whether the Bible has real answers. Biblical manhood for a generation that's never been really given a model to follow. These are in-depth conversations with people like Dr. Jason Lyle, Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and Dr. John Krotz, teachers who take the Bible seriously and don't shy away from the hard topics. These Fortis Forums are all on Fortis Plus for you to watch right now for free. And they're ready when you are. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org and see what biblical depth actually looks like. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. If you're a man, you're trying to figure out what it actually means to be one, and you've probably noticed, well, the world doesn't make it easy. They say be strong, but not too strong. Lead, but you don't want to be toxic. Look, it's a lot of mixed signals, and after a while, you just stop listening to any of it. And the thing about it is, Scripture is not confused. God has a lot to say about what it means to be a man, and Dr. Adam Tyson unpacks that every week on Way of Manhood. Dr. Tyson is a pastor. He's also a professor at the Masters University, and he's one of our Fortis Institute fellows, and he's not interested in cultural trends. He's interested in what the Bible actually says. And if you're an ongoing monthly gospel partner of Fortis Institute, it is your support that helps make content just like this possible. If you've ever been impacted by this ministry, would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner today? All you have to do is go to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out what it would look like in your life to do just that. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. A good majority of us are running two lives. There's the one where you pray and you read your Bible and you go to church, but there's also another life, the one where you go to work and do what you've got to do to cover the bills or try to get your teenager to talk to you. And Todd Friel, well, he doesn't believe that God ever meant for these to be two different lives. His new book is called Go Serve Your King, and he walks through the parts of your life you never think to call spiritual, like your job or your bank account. And he shows you that Jesus is king over all of it. The whole point is being faithful in the house and the job you've already got. Al Mohler read the book, and he said Todd writes with the same energy that he has on the air. And he's right. You can pre-order Go Serve Your King right now at fortisinstitute.org/king. And if you order by November 15th, Todd will mail you a signed book plate for your copy. The book comes out December the 1st. Pre-order now at fortisinstitute.org/king.
Books of the Bible. The book of Judges covers Israel's history from the death of Joshua to just before the reign of King Saul. The reoccurring phrase is, "And everyone did what was right in their own eyes." When Israel rebelled, God allowed their enemies to triumph. But when Israel cried out to God, He raised up a deliverer. God is faithful, even when His people are not.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There's a young man sitting on these steps here, eating a... what is that? A tofu burrito. Dude, those are two words that shouldn't go together, but that's just my opinion. Can I talk to you for a minute while you're eating your tofu burrito?
Sure.
All right, dude. What's your first name?
Nathan.
Actually, that looks pretty decent.
You want to bite?
Nah, it doesn't look that decent.
Good for you.
Frankly, and I'm a bit of a germaphobe. It's nothing personal.
Germs?
Yeah, germs.
Well, you know, you need tofu then to help kill all the bacteria and toxins in your body.
Not sure that's how it works. Is that one of the elements of tofu that I'm not aware of?
Yes, it has miraculous healing powers.
It's funny, I was just talking about that. Nathan, what are you studying?
Electrical engineering.
Alrighty, what do you want to do with that?
It's just basically knowledge, understanding
of the physical world. 50 years from now, you look back on your life, you're 70 years old. Am I close?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I could
mm-hmm.
work at a carnival? All right. Yeah. So you're 70 years old. What did you do that you look back with this degree that you're earning right now that would make you go, I can die a happy man?
I'm not sure if I can look a year into the future, even 2 years,
fair
five
enough.
Years. 50 years is a bit difficult. You know, nothing that we can, you know, we can't plan that far in the future and be at all accurate unless it just happens to be that way. But it's, I mean, so how do I apply what I'm learning now? I think if I do something big, something good for humanity, something that helps other people and kind of makes us live more sustainably so that we can actually be around as a species in 50 years from now,
mm-hmm.
that would make me look back and say, okay, I contribute something positively to the world.
All right, I'm going to apply my circus magic act right now.
Okay.
You believe in chance, don't you?
What do you mean by chance?
That things just happen randomly. Some things happen this way, some things happen that way, but there's no God, there's no providence. Things just happen.
Well, I believe in cause and effect. I believe in consequences.
Okay. Karma? Synchronicity.
Well, these are kind of buzzwords that don't really have a lot of intrinsic meaning. Everyone has their kind of own definition
yeah.
or interpretation of these words. So uh-huh. can you be a little more specific, I guess?
Do you believe that there's any force greater than us that's guiding the affairs of man?
Greater than us?
No. Let's call that being God.
Being. Well, I'm not sure if it's a being, but there could be.
So do you believe in God?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Because I think it's just a purely man-made construct of our minds. And there's no reason, for me at least, to believe in an organized religion and to believe that there's a power structure greater than ourselves named God that watches over us and listens to prayers and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no reason to.
Okay, so nobody's ever provided for you any compelling proof.
Correct.
Right. Did you ever go to church as a kid?
No, I did not.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever studied the subject of religion?
I have, informally.
Okay. What do you know about Christianity?
What I get sort of indirectly from friends, from observation,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
Yeah, what is it? What's the big point of Christianity? What's the big teaching?
The big teaching. Again, I think that would vary from church to church, probably.
I think I agree with you, yeah.
The big teaching, you know, I don't know if there is a big teaching.
All right.
Well,
here, let me try to steer this a little bit, okay? In Buddhism, they try to get rid of any desires so that they can ultimately become nothing. All right.
Right.
Hinduism, they carve gods and idols, and they believe in karma and reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mormonism, do good things, and maybe you'll go get your planet where you can make spirit babies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Christianity, give me a line.
Do good things and follow the word of Christ so you can get into heaven.
Okay, there you go. I want to flip that on its head for just a moment,
okay.
All right? I don't think that's the message of Christianity, but I think that's the message that most people perceive it to be. What you just described is something called work righteousness. Work your way to heaven. Do righteous things, and maybe God will reward you. The message of Christianity is different than that, all right? Here's the message. The message is you can't do good things. In fact, all you've done are bad things. The Bible says we're bad people. Would you agree with that?
The Old Testament, yeah.
Okay. New Testament, too. Same book. Same thing.
Okay, so that we're all fundamentally sinners.
Yes.
And we have to overcome that by faith and I guess
sort of like that. But let's take it one piece at a time. Okay. Do you agree with the statement that we are all by nature sinful and unclean?
No.
Okay. I'm going to try to convince you otherwise.
Okay.
How old are you?
22.
22. How many lies have you told in your life?
Probably thousands.
Okay. If I told thousands of lies, what would you call me? What type of person would I be? It starts with an L, rhymes with fire. Don't overthink this one.
So you're steering me in the wrong direction. You wouldn't be a liar because we're not defined by...
Stop it.
One.
You told thousands of lies. You're a liar. How many things have you stolen?
Physical things.
Anything. Time from a boss, music from downloading, pens from a school, money from your parents' purse.
A few.
Okay, so what does that make you?
That makes me one slice of who I am as a whole person.
All right. Okay, a thief.
How many people have I loved? How many good deeds have I done?
All right. Right, but it's funny, though. When a criminal is before a judge, we don't think of him as a lover and a hugger. We think of him as a murderer or a criminal. Because he's broken
the law. That's prejudging, though.
Okay. Assuming that he's guilty, of course. And you just confessed to me that you are. All right, let's try this one. Let's try purity of mind. My job right now, I'm trying to convince you you're one of those wretched sinners. All right? How many times have you lusted today? Just sitting here, perhaps.
Lusted.
Sexual desire.
Had a sexual desire sitting here today. Zero.
Okay. Before sitting here. At all today.
Consciously or unconsciously?
Whatever.
Well, we gotta get specific here, because these...
No, you do. How many times have you lusted? This week. It's Wednesday.
Lusted. I don't go around lusting.
Dude, you're killing me.
Well, these questions...
They're just words.
They're just words.
A girl walks by and a thought runs through your mind, or you have fantasies in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, you answer that in the privacy of your own heart in your own time. I'll leave that between you and God, okay? But if you've done that, if you've broken that, yikes, that doesn't make you a good person.
Really?
Well, would you like your mom to know that that's what's going on in your brain? Probably not.
I don't see anything wrong with natural impulses.
Well, natural or not, that doesn't mean they're right. Somebody would say that about murder or rape, but it's wrong. So if the judge judged you, if there's a God... and he judged you, would he find you to be a good person or a bad person?
A good person.
But you just confessed to me you broke thousands of lies, stealing, lusting.
Why is that bad inherently?
Because you're a lawbreaker. You've broken God's laws.
God's laws?
Yeah.
Well, if there is no God, then how can there be God's laws? And then if there's no God, then how can he enforce them?
Let's say there is. And let's say that those are his rules.
Well, you can't convince me of this if you start from these premises, which I don't agree with.
Okay, but we're in fantasy world right now, okay?
Okay.
If there's a God, and if those are his laws,
mm-hmm.
and you knew that you were guilty of breaking his laws,
mm-hmm.
would he send you to heaven, or would he send you to hell?
I don't know. I don't know the mind of God.
Well, I think we got a pretty good idea what he'd do with somebody who's broken his laws.
What if he's only broken
guilty.
Them?
It's called justice. It's the right thing to do. It would be to punish you, right?
So he just looks at the bad things we've done and not the good things?
Well, it's not a balanced system.
So if you lust one time, you're going to hell automatically?
That is a very interesting question. Because it kind of raises the question, whew, that seems pretty severe. But the reason that it's so severe, it's not because the crime is so spectacular. It's the one against whom we committed the crime. Okay? See, he's infinitely perfect and holy, so our offenses, while we might just think boys will be boys, he sees them as very gross violations because of his character and his nature. That's why judgment is so severe. That's why punishment is so long.
Mm-hmm.
That's why hell is reasonable. The one against whom we committed the crime is deeply offended, and he's infinitely perfect.
Okay.
Now, I just took you down a different road. Remember, you said that Christianity was about doing good and maybe God will take you to heaven? I just took you down a different road. Here's what I tried to do with you, Nathan. To take you down the road that says you're not good, you can't please God, you don't have a shot at heaven. But God is good, and he's rich in mercy, and while he will punish lawbreakers, he desires to save people because he's a good God and he's kind. and so that he can maintain justice and demonstrate kindness, he did something to satisfy both of those demands. He sent his son, whose name is?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ, that's right, who died on a cross, took the punishment, was beaten by men, had his beard pulled out of his face, was hit with a stick, had a crown of thorns put on his head for you, so that God's wrath could be satisfied through the work of Jesus Christ. You've broken God's laws. Jesus paid your fine. And if you will humble yourself before God, admit he's right, you're wrong, he's good, you're the sinner, you've offended him and you're sorry, and you turn from your sins and put your trust in the Savior, God says, I will take you to heaven, not because you're a good guy who tried hard, but because you're a bad guy who failed miserably, but I'm a good God and I rescued you. That's the Christian gospel. It's a different story.
Well, in that case, count me out.
All right, dude. Enjoy your tofu. All right, mate? All right.
You too.
Thanks for the chat.
Thank you.
All right, man. Oh, don't you worry. I'll be going back to that tofu burrito. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.